they stop.
Let's go!
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, 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 welcome back to Banter with the Boys Fast Laps. Obviously, I'm Smeltzy. Next to me, we got Joe. Joe, what's going on?
It's going, man. That was definitely a race that we witnessed.
A race.
And now we're going to talk about it.
Hey, there's a great intro. Cole, how's your week been?
Good. Weather update. It's beautiful. Beautiful today again. Beautiful. Right?
Well, storms tonight, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy,
not to excite
no,
you.
Nothing I'm putting money on, you know?
Unfortunately,
not this weekend.
Not this weekend. Tyler, what's going on?
Not much, man. It's beautiful outside. It was a fun race to watch.
Fun race to watch. Obviously, before we get into that Austria GP recap, we got to talk about the Cappy one more time for you as July 4th is coming up. Tyler, do you got any 4th of July plans? You got any 4th of July plans?
I do, actually. We're planning on getting the pool open. We got a guy coming tomorrow, so in a perfect world, we're going to be just chilling by the pool. Don't want to get any pool water in the can, so just got to have that Cappy at all times.
Got to have the Cappy at all times. Speaking of having the Cappy at all times, Cole, it's got a keychain holder on it.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, too, honestly. You know, pretty easy, slide on anything. Yep, perfect. Yeah, I'll be taking it by the pool. Thinking about the pool this weekend. Might go to the lake. I don't want that lake water. You know, I'm ripping around.
Right.
Holding the skis behind the boat. 100%. I might hold the Cappy in there. Put the thing to the test out there, huh?
But might as well. Might as well. Submerge it.
I think it'll hold the test.
But yeah, absolutely. Joe, where are you utilizing the Cappy this week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a bunch of friends. We're all can drinkers, so we're all going to have brews. So it's going to be nice to have, you know, the Cappy here. They're all different colors. We can kind of, you know which color's ours, so we don't start grabbing each other's. We all drink the same thing because, you know, we're all of one mind and stupid sometimes. But the Cappy's there to make sure we don't start sipping each other.
And you all have the Cappy, so you're all of one mind again. Another example.
And what better time than this weekend to take advantage of the 4-pack? You have a couple friends over, you get 2-3 packs of Cappies. Everybody's beer is labeled. They get their own choice.
And even if you order it right now, you can still get it by the 4th. Because of this great thing called Amazon Prime. Again, their prime choice item. What are you going to say about the Cappy, Cole?
No, I was just going to say exactly what you just said. Where are you going to pick it up this weekend, Schmelzy? Where are you going to grab it for this weekend?
Amazon. That's the only place. The only place. I should order one right now, but I just can't right now. I don't have any internet connection. But when you do get internet connection, make sure you get on Amazon Prime and order that thing. And, of course, right into our, what was it, Joe? The Qatar Airways Austrian GP?
Something like that.
I think that's what it is. Ironically, next week's is also the Qatar Airways.
Oh, I have it right in front of me. Yeah, the Formula One Qatar Airways Austrian Grand Prix. Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, all right.
None of it's memorized.
Yeah, for sure. I know what I'm doing. Anyway, let's just start off with the sprint race. I did not catch the sprint race. Did you catch the sprint race, Joe?
I did. Yep.
Oh, not you did
the sprint
too,
Cole? Race.
Mm-hmm. You
everybody but you.
Everybody but you.
Oh, everybody...
I forgot there was it, but I did watch it.
Oh,
just like, oh, that oh, the, yesterday's
thought,
race was so
you,
exciting.
I thought
I'm just
you
like,
meant
ah.
like you forgot that it was.
No, so, no,
so
I
you
watched
didn't
it.
Watch it. Okay.
It just.
So everybody but me, but anyway, what did you see in it? So.
Starting first nine laps, some pretty good fighting from McLaren and Red Bull. Couldn't exactly make it past them, unfortunately. We did see Piastri getting ahead of Lando. But that's kind of, that's really the only note I made the entire race. Otherwise, it was pretty chill. Nothing much else happening.
It was pretty straightforward. Do you guys think right after Piastri made the pass on Lando, they should have pulled team orders and got Lando back out there and let him fight? Because Piastri was just so much slower than Lando.
I don't think so. I mean, at that point, Lando had given it his all. He threw everything he could at Max. He passed him and then just got immediately passed back. So I don't think it was necessary, especially you're fighting for 1 point. In a
bragging
real race,
Max, dude.
If it was Sunday, maybe.
Yeah.
Piastri was just, he was slower in that sprint. I mean, both races, obviously, Lando looked really good this weekend again. But stuff, I don't know, I was banking on, I was just hoping that he was going to get him.
Yeah. You don't think they made team orders to stop them from fighting the sprint, do you? Like,
yes.
You that so? I wouldn't be surprised if they did. It would only make
they
sense.
Were, they were very, like, Lando was just chilling. He was just dragging on DRS. They were just pulling away from the pack, and they were just, honestly, they looked like they were just cruising out there, like, just for a joyride. They weren't racing hard. They weren't really racing. I think Lando could have caught him. Lando stayed, like, exactly the same time distance away from him the whole time. I think they were just both in cruise mode at that point.
Gotcha. Yeah. I definitely feel like they're both respectful of each other, and they know not to ruin each other's race. I feel like Oscar, even though he's in his rookie season, he's still, like, not rookie, his second year, he's really shown a lot of maturity, so I feel like he's there. I do agree Lando's probably quicker. I would have hoped that if they got really, really quick, you know, it would have allowed them to fight a little bit. But again, not
probably.
To,
I mean, huh? Come on.
You didn't say that much confidence on that one.
Well, Oscar was fast this weekend. I mean, he wasn't as fast as Lando.
Lando was a rocket ship this weekend.
But he got past him.
He took
him
advantage
in the sprint,
of fighting.
You know?
He took advantage of the fight,
he did,
though.
Yeah. He got past him in the battle from Lando and Max. I mean, yeah. I don't. Like I said, it's a sprint race. You're fighting for 1 point. You don't want to mess the car up going into Sunday. You don't want to blemish on the car on the going into Sunday.
Right, of course. Both of them.
McLaren got qualifying right after that, too. So they're probably, you're right. They're probably just keeping it easy. You know, two podiums for McLaren is good in the sprint. You know, focus on Sunday.
And I don't think Lando cares about the 1 point. He's like, Max would probably be everything he could to get that 1 point. But Lando, at that point, you know, I don't think he's going to, like, put up that much of a fight against his teammate.
He could use that 1 point this weekend, though.
He could, but I mean, but if it wasn't his teammate, that's different. It's his teammate.
I sent you this graphic. I think before this race, I sent Tyler a graphic, and it was going over the previous three races before this one. And Red Bull out of Ferrari, McLaren.
It was the big four.
Huh?
It was the big four.
Yeah, out of the big four, Red Bull was third or fourth in points the last 3 weeks before this one.
It was all Max.
In the last four races.
Yeah.
And it was all Max's points.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
like,
it was, okay. It was, yeah, it was like,
well, yeah, primarily.
Well, yeah, that's majority, for sure. Okay. Yeah, you got
but
it.
But like, McLaren, for example, was like 20 something points above them in the last three races. And like Ferrari, or no, Mercedes was a big jump too.
Oh, yeah, Mercedes.
It was kind of shocking how much, because based on how much they had in just those three races, if they keep going this progression, I mean, there's a very good chance that there's a couple teams fighting for the first in the constructors.
Well, you got Sergio Perez not racing right now. I mean,
he
looks terrible.
Yeah,
it's horrible, especially in this track.
Yeah,
this Red Bull's track.
I don't get it. It's unreal.
The car is designed for this track.
I was almost mad he got eighth in the sprint. Like, even though it's 1 point for him, I was like, "What are we doing? Dude? Give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else that's trying." Sure. The poor guy in the Haas behind him.
And since it is Red Bull's track, like, we should see a Red Bull at least in the podium, and we didn't. So we'll head right into that. Obviously, George Russell getting the dub. I mean, I got a, you know, second career win, I believe it was for George.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gosh, got to give it to him. I mean, he hung in there, got the dub, just kept driving.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was like chuckling about it at the end on the radio. Like, I guess it's never over. You know what I mean?
It's not over till it's over.
And 100%. He's 100% right.
Yeah. He raced everything. I mean, he did all he could have done to give himself a win in that car.
Yeah.
With how it looked, right? He did everything he could have done.
He did everything he needed to do.
Nothing
yeah.
against him, right?
He had the podium locked up. I mean, you got to take advantage of the opportunities, right? It's it's if you're going to have that battle up front, just stay within the range where you can take advantage of it, and that's exactly what he did. If anybody would have picked George Russell as the race winner this weekend, he would have won a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure would have. I mean, you can say almost those same things about the whole podium.
Yeah.
But before we even get into McLaren, obviously Lewis had another decent drive. It was nice to see Lewis fighting. I mean, it seemed like we saw offense and defense from Lewis this race. And like, again, just like last year, that upward trajectory for Lewis. I mean, do we see Lewis steal a win by the end of the season? I mean, George is racing well and getting more consistent every week.
There has to be more come to that car, I think, for him to pull a win. I don't think that car can win right now unless stuff like that happened last weekend happens.
Well, and then your dark web stuff from last week about the sabotage.
And I think that, I mean, Russell, I think, is just a quicker driver than Lewis in that car right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, even last week with Lewis finishing above him, he did, but Russell was in third the entire race, and Lewis got him when they did that tire switch, so...
Yeah,
Russell looks really damn good now. He looks like what he was coveted as this future world champion. Like, he's coming into that form with a car that isn't on the level of the Red Bull of the McLaren. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be close to that. It might be getting there at this point.
But I think we saw that gap before Max and Lando did their thing, and we'll get into that. That gap that was between Lando and Russell, I think that's about right, it seems, yeah. right now. So, yeah. like,
that's what
again,
you'd expect.
Just, again, getting the dub from taking advantage of the situation, but it's not like he's not earning it, for
he's
sure.
He's a giant.
He is a giant.
He's a big dude.
After the race in that room with the three top guys, he's enormous.
He's probably like 135 pounds, too.
Speaking of that cool-down room, when they... And this will lead us right into McLaren, unless you got anything to say about George and Mercedes.
No, like you guys said, he's super consistent. You know, he was saying he was, you know, chilling, just keeping his pace, watching the big screen, waiting for Lando and Max to, just watching them fight, essentially, to see if they messed up, and that's what happened.
Which would have been, he had front row seat to that.
Yeah, he really did, and he took the opportunity. And the only thing I also want to call out, just because I thought it was hilarious, his two comms that he had during the race... Toto to George saying you can win this race, and George replying, just let me effing drive. And then after the race, when he won it, you could actually hear George say yabba dabba do.
No, he didn't.
He did. Really? He 100%. That's hilarious. He 100% just Scooby Dooed that win. So George is now like, I guess he's my favorite driver now. I don't know.
Oh, snap. Making the jump from McLaren to Mercedes.
Yeah,
huh?
I got the hat. Just in time for Lewis to leave. I'm just going to keep wearing it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny about the first comment, too. Like, Toto, after, like, during George's cooldown lap, got on the comms, was like, George, sorry about getting on you, like, talking on the radio during your braking. And George responded, was just like, Toto, it's all good. I, like, knew you were super excited. Yeah. And you could just sense that, like, the excitement.
Which you could hear it in Toto's voice on the comms, how excited he was about it.
Yeah. Toto, he doesn't hop on the mic that often. No. It's only when it's
let
like,
alone shows you like that excitement. Usually it's
pretty stoic
yelling
fella.
And complaining about something going on, and that's not right.
Yeah. Michael!
Yeah, you hear him on the talking to the stewards or trying to calm down his drivers, you know, when but something wrong.
I haven't
happens.
Heard him much this season in general, I feel.
You haven't heard Mercedes much.
Well.
Until the last couple of races. Yeah.
There is that. But anyway, back to what I was going to say, in the cooldown room, when all three of them were in there watching the incident between Lando and Max, and they all kind of just like... scoffed, kind of. It was kind of funny, but they did all seem to take, and according to the commentators and the stewards, it was Max's fault. He got the 10 second compared to Lando's 5 on that incident. I'm almost positive. Did he not?
Well, Lando didn't get penalized for that incident.
Yeah,
Lando got penalized.
Oh,
for
Lando
track
was
limits.
The track limits. Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
you won't see both drivers get penalized in like a crash. It has to be one person's fault, right?
At first, I didn't think it was, but watching it over and over again, I do think Max kind of came over a little bit too far.
Here's my
pinched
issue.
Him off.
Obviously, I think it was obvious it was Max's fault. I think it was Max who's won so much being a sore loser. And afterwards, he talked about, like, oh, I'm not out there to take second. I'm out there to win. That's why I'm racing. I don't care if I'm top in the constructors and all that. At the same time, dude, you lost. Right? Like, and then you just did like a grimy move pushing him out. And, you know, I just makes me just love Max even more, man.
Did anybody see Lando's interview post race? I didn't watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He basically said like that it was, you know, Max, he blamed Max and was like, if he looks back at this and doesn't take any sort of responsibility, I'm going to lose a lot. I'm going to lose all respect for him. And then followed that up where even if he takes responsibility, I'll earn a little bit back.
Well, he said Lando was heated.
And we've constantly
as heated
seen
as Lando the, gets.
And we've,
know,
well, right. But we've constantly seen the past few weeks how frustrated Lando's getting not winning. He wants to get the win.
And he drove to win.
He did.
He did everything he could.
The
correct race to win. That was all on Max. And even it, to even expand on what you were saying, Lando was saying that there's if he doesn't come out and own up to it, like their friendship might be tarnished.
Which is wild.
Yeah,
wild.
They're best buds.
But I mean, if you think about it, what, 20, 30 years ago on the grid?
Nobody was friends.
Nobody was friends. So, like, I'd love to see get back to a mix of that. I don't need to see fist fighting, you know? Yeah. No,
if
not
you're
like
do
this.
That, let the battling on track, let's go back to, like, the, I don't know, even, like, the Lewis and Max battles, right? There was respect on the track between it. There wasn't any dirty moves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a part of where the issue lies right now is Max coming up in F1 has not been penalized for this type of driving. It's not that Max did anything different this race than he's done his entire career. That's just the type of driver he is, and if the FIA just keeps letting him get away with it, this is what what's his name? Andrea Stefani? What is McLaren's not there? It's like
ride with it.
His principal?
It's not the principal. Yeah, it's like it's the principal because it's not Brown because he's the whatever. But
Andrea Stella, I think.
Right? There you go, yeah. Andrea Stella. So he came home and was like, "This is this is what you get when Max has been able to get away with this his entire career."
Yep.
Like you can't expect the driver to change at this point if he's used to this happening and he's getting away with it. Then that's it is what it is. Yeah, you got to make the adjustment as Verstappen. Like I think it is with you. What you're saying a lot, Cole, is like he's doing what he needs to do to win because he knows the race is lost at that point. So you got to put the elbows out. Now he put them out too far in this case, right, obviously. Right. And I mean, it was nice to see though Max take some. He did take accountability for it. He didn't just instantly blame Lando like he typically does. Even the immediate post race interview, not the press conference, but he was just like, you know, it's easy to make judgments right now. I need to go back and look at the footage and see what actually happened. Like I thought I gave him enough room, but it's all right away. And then what sparked that too, though, Cole, was the question, is the podium, the reporter literally asked him, why didn't you just let him pass you your first in the constructor standings?
Yes.
That's a stupid question to ask an F1 driver. It's a bait question, right?
Yeah.
It's a bait question. That's
definitely a bait question.
So it's like you have to respond that way if you're Verstappen.
But just to gauge everybody's, everybody in agreement, it was on Max, right? Yeah. Everybody's
I think
that.
So.
It's the overwhelming consensus between F1.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was making some pretty dirty moves, like under braking, which you shouldn't
moves.
Do.
Childish moves.
And then like once he got that puncture, he continued to do it. He pushed Lando off again. Yeah. I think the penalty was deserved.
Yeah. Could see him not turning anymore. Yes. Like after he got it,
the penalty was deserved. Unfortunately, it just didn't do anything.
I cannot tell you how frustrated it made me that he still finished.
Same.
It's unbelievable. The fact that he still beat Checo, who's racing.
Yeah, no doubt. Dude, that's a great point.
Checo was racing Haas's whole race, okay?
Yeah, that's pretty
Checo's great. Checo's right now maybe in the top car fighting with the seventh best team.
That's a great point.
And he lost to one.
Yeah, he did. Max went ahead and lost the race, finished fifth, and still beat Checo.
It makes me even more angry that Lando DNF'd and he still got points.
For sure.
I was hoping Lando still made it enough to make like a ninth, tenth, like one of those to still get something. That just drives me nuts that he still got fifth.
Yeah, and the car's damage going forward.
Well, for sure. The thing that drives me nuts about that incident, and I suppose we can move on, is the fact that something was going on with like Max's transmission or something late too. They were telling him to stay in seventh or whatever, and he just kept trying to push it, you know what I mean?
I think that was on the straightaway.
And then he was trying to like...
It was on the straightaway. They were trying to see if he should go into eighth to gain more speed on it, to get a faster lap. And
I thought they were straight up telling him not to because there's an issue with it.
I don't think there was an issue. I think they were just trying to conserve.
The commentator speculated about that. I see why you're getting it.
Okay.
It's like they were like speculating all the ECU because they're already down to whatever. It's just a matter of race at this point where he's going
to
get the penalty.
They were just trying to conserve tire strategy. Oh, tire.
Tires definitely did not work in that last stint. I mean,
no, he was complaining about him for a hot minute.
So I got to ask a follow-up because I honestly just don't know. Lando and Max driving the rest of that to pit and get new tires. Is that not similar to what Checo did and got a 3-place grid penalty?
So I had the exact same thought.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Because nothing was hanging off of their car.
I think those tires easily could have popped off.
They could have. I don't think you can make that argument for Max's situation.
Well, his rim was all messed up.
Lando's wheels whipping around, hitting all the carbon fiber and stuff. That's the one where I could see it, but
there must be something in the rules for specifically punctures because I've seen multiple times where punctures have gone in. I don't know if this is a fact, but like, I mean, there's got to be something because you see it happen. I mean, not all the time nowadays, but you saw it happen all the time. And Checo's car was the back of his car was destroyed. You know, so
that's true.
Yeah.
There wasn't any like nobody hit the barrier for anything.
You're right,
Joe.
I mean, Lando, like he was going to the pits. His tire stuff was literally spinning. So maybe it's also rubber. It's obviously not great to have on the track, but it's also not like the biggest safety concern for them because it's
once you wonder how the carbon fiber and just destroying that.
You wonder like I know like for example when I used to race 4-wheelers, it's like they used to put stuff on the tires and stuff to make it pretty much impossible for them to pop off the rim. Mm-hmm. They must have something similar to that in F1 where like it's pretty hard for those tires to pop off the rim.
I would imagine
because Lando's the way it was still holding on. Like just but, not only like not only to rip, but just like for them to go horizontally off.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, but you also, I mean, you're talking speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour.
Yeah, but I mean, they also put millions on, in there. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No, for sure.
I'm sure there probably is something.
It's like, not like your normal car tire.
Yeah, drums are made that way.
It's probably similar technology behind whatever NASCAR and Indy uses. I'm sure it's all just a general, like, I'm sure it's built into the safety regulations.
Yeah. And it just threw me off. I was like, maybe Max will get another three, you know?
Yeah, that was my initial thought, too, though. Was like, what? That was my first thought was, how are these guys continuing?
Max was still moving quick, too.
And so. Okay, counterpoints to that real quick. I agree. I mean, because it's just tires, that's probably why. But when Russell made the pass on those two, when they're both kind of neck and neck a little bit and both their tires are ripping everywhere, it's not a clean move. It's a pretty dirty, it's tough for Russell to have to make that pass at the top speed he was. Like, it's a dangerous move. And that's the same reason why you don't allow the back wing and stuff like that, because it's dangerous for the rest of the drivers on the track. It was clearly a dangerous track with those two still trying to race each other with no freaking tire, and Russell's at top speed. That's where my thought behind it is. Like, there should be
something. Maybe they'll look at that now.
And not for Lando, because he didn't do it, but just to Max. Not to Lando because he didn't cause wreck, but just for Max.
Let's do it. Well, let's go back to McLaren real quick. Just recap on Oscar. Also a great day, obviously, getting second place. He was fast all day, really.
He should have won this race.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was fast all day.
He qualified P3 and got that track limits, which dropped him down to seventh. If he qualifies P3, he wins this race, assuming he keeps position like Russell did.
Yeah.
He was so angry after that.
And he was moving past Lewis and Carlos.
And he was catching George.
He was catching George. I think if enough like laps, he would have caught him, I think.
Well, in the moves he's using, you can see his experience just growing each race, too. I mean,
and his comfortability in that car.
100%.
Yeah.
No, 100%. So, I mean, honestly, I don't have much to say else about McLaren or Oscar for that matter. I mean, they're doing everything we think they're going to do. Oh. Lando will be right back up there next week.
Yeah, I'll just say one thing. Oscar, he was not happy for second at the end of that race, which just shows he's hungry. He wants his win now.
So
that's great to see, man.
Or is he young and immature right now?
I mean, he got blessed at two.
I mean... Are we going to see battles between Lando and Oscar? Like,
McLaren won't allow it. McLaren doesn't operate like that.
I don't. Yeah,
there's a first driver's seat in McLaren, and that is Lando Norris. He will always get the benefit of the doubt, as he should. I mean, in that difference, it's not like you have
and Oscar just like job security just doesn't want to push that envelope. You think?
No, but I think you have to earn it. Just like we saw with Danny Rick. Sure. Just like with Danny Rick and Lando. Am I wrong? Who did a Lando race against with his first year? Danny Rick, right?
His first year was Sainz.
His first year was Sainz, and then Lando came in to replace Sainz.
No. Danny came in to replace Sainz.
Yeah, so it was Danny.
Oh, sorry.
So when it was Danny and Lando, it was kind of thought to be like Danny Rick was the one seat. And then I think towards the progression of how good Lando kept racing towards the end of the season, I think there is right now a top seat, but I think if Piastri can really perform great the rest of the season, he can get that. Like he was saying, they're not going to let them fight. I don't think he'll ever pass Lando. I don't think he's a better driver. But McLaren, they're not going to let them fight. But again, if you show that you're the better driver, you'll get that top seat. You'll get
but
like
if he's faster on the day.
Just like with Danny Rick and Lando. Yeah. That's the comparison I was trying to make is Danny Rick was kind of the one that they lifted up the whole first half of the season. And then when Lando showed, hey, I'm here to race, they started to give, you know, Lando the top seat type.
A little bit more leash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nah, for sure. Let's just recap on Well, I guess let's recap on Red Bull really quick since we've already been there. I mean, actually, I don't really have anything else to say about Red Bull. Now that I think about it, we already touched on Checo.
Why does he have a seat next year is the only question I have.
Do they take him out of that seat
can't,
at all?
You just signed him to an extension.
I know, but can you, like, I don't know how it works. Can you release a driver and you're guaranteed to pay them the money deal? Yeah, or?
I kind of bet that they probably won't keep him for 26, even though he's got the 1+1. I don't think they're going to plus him
no
up.
No chance.
I mean, Red Bull being Red Bull, there's got to be, like, an opportunity for them
plan,
to...
Maybe?
I don't think there's a greater plan. I think they're just licking their wounds at the moment.
I would agree.
I think there's a possibility, though, that Checo could be replaced at some point next season.
Absolutely.
Like, mid-season, do you think Checo completes next season?
He completes it in a V-carb or a Red Bull.
Yeah, I could see him maybe
a driver swap.
I could also see him just getting, like, straight-up booted, you know?
In response to like the whole Verstappen thing, there was Toto was saying, I think like I will have a Verstappen in my car, And you guys see a Christian Horner respond. Yeah. He goes, if you want a Verstappen in your car, you can call Jos, which is Verstappen's father.
Dude, they hate each other.
Yeah.
Horner and Jos. Yeah, they hate each other.
He's open like a public hate, too.
Yeah, they really hate each other. It was all over the news again. Like, every week there's something going on between those two. But let's talk about that third driver, Carlos Sainz, and Ferrari as a whole. Obviously, Leclerc getting... We'll talk about Leclerc quick first, because that's an easy one. Just getting the short end of the stick there at the beginning of the race. And honestly, he never really recovered. He still, though, almost made it back into points, coming back from as far south as, I think, 19th, or did he even run 20th for a second?
He was 20. I think, he started off in 20th because he started pit first.
No, he got damaged, and then he had to pit.
He pitted after the first lap,
yes.
And then Sargent didn't pit to the second lap, I think, or something like that.
I think he was 20th for like five seconds.
No, because there's twice on the track, I think, where he passed Sargent. Pretty quickly.
I mean, either way, he still battled his way back to an 11th place finish. It's not going to do anything in the points, but...
It'd been awesome to see him get 10th.
Still another great showing of skill.
He was driving.
Oh, for sure.
Right? It's tough where he had to fight from, but... I don't know. I think it kind of just shows Ferrari's not gone.
100%. Right?
They're still there to fight. They're still there to fight for maybe even a podium or top four.
Because even if you still had Max and Lando up there, I mean, you still got fifth place with Carlos. I mean, considering the past few weeks with Ferrari.
Nobody in red can be happy about that.
No, well, they're not. Of course, they want more because of, obviously, who they are, their history, all that jazz, and their pride. They take great pride in what they do, but it's still better than last week, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think they're as far away as a lot of people might have thought because of how their last couple weeks went, you know?
Could they even battle McLaren right now?
No.
Do you think they can even keep up with
them? They're not even fighting Mercedes. Mercedes are getting past them pretty easily.
That's what I mean. Mercedes seems like they can fight McLaren. Obviously, they got the win, but under circumstances, but...
I don't know if Mercedes could battle McLaren at this point. I think it's not even a team that can battle McLaren. No, it's not even Red Bull. It's just Max.
Max versus McLaren.
And I don't even think it's
Checo.
I don't even think it's McLaren.
No doubt.
I don't even think it's McLaren. Right now, I think it's just Lando and Max who wants to win the race.
True.
Because honestly, if Lando's in 20th, I think there's not a lot of races Oscar finishes first.
Sure.
I would agree.
Joel, you got anything for where Ferrari's at right now at this point in the season?
I just hate that point you guys made. You're right, though. It's something that I really haven't thought a lot about. Ferrari is kind of dropping behind a little bit. You still think of them as like the team to fight McLaren and maybe Red Bull, but you're right. The last few races, besides Monaco, which is kind of a fixed race a little bit for qualifying, they haven't looked amazing. Like Carlos, he was in fifth, and then the top two got knocked out, and then he got that podium. So yeah, maybe they're fighting Mercedes more. We got some other bottom teams that are making more of a show of themselves as well. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I'd like to think they maybe make a comeback. I can't remember what they did last season, if they did much of that. I know Mercedes made a huge comeback, but I don't know if Ferrari lasted through as much as them.
Oh, no, they started off hot like this year.
Started off hot, and then they had reliability issues.
I think they were average.
Wasn't that like their engines were failing? But like Mercedes and McLaren had jumped ahead of them at like right after the midway point.
And they were just average at the end of the year, kind of like this right now.
Okay. I mean, they were still like handily beating the Astons and everybody below them, but they were like, they weren't fighting the top three.
So with Ferrari, let's head right back into Haas, actually. That was a pretty good showing from Haas.
Sure was.
Yeah. I mean, best all-around team showing from Haas I think we've seen in a minute. Not only the drivers, but just the team as a whole seemed to have a decent strategy on the weekend. You using the Cappy over there? But I mean, a great showing from Nico finishing sixth, K-Mag obviously in eighth. Are we looking for anything better from Nico at this point? I mean, that's about as high as you can expect in a Haas car, but if you're Kick Sauber, are you hoping for anything more so you feel better? I mean, I already feel pretty good if I'm them about landing Nico for the next, 2 years, right? I think Hulk's and Kick Sauber Audi for the next 2 years.
Yeah, he's going over next year, and then he stays with the team for their conversion into
first
Audi.
Year. Yeah.
I think Haas is just, good races and bad races, right? I think they're going. We're going to see them in top 10 at least a few more times. I just don't think it's going to be all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, you know, if the track suits them, let's see them up there. I definitely think they're not the worst team on the grid. It's just, you know, sometimes I have issues with, you know, the pit team, or, you know, maybe K-Mag is decides to play bumper cars with the rest of the grid. But yeah, I don't know. I think Haas is definitely not someone to count out. I think they got a decent amount of points right now. So
They jumped up. They just passed Alpine this last race, I think, with their points to seventh.
Yeah, they were 1 point behind, and now they hopped up big. They're nine up, right? They got 10 up.
And Alpine's not racing that bad as a whole season right now. Yeah. So like that's
consistently 9-10.
That could be another, you know, battle.
A big jump for sure. And I mean, honestly, I think it's an amazing race out of them, 6 and 8. The fact that Checo can't beat a Haas and he's sandwiched between two Haases, it's gross.
Oh, actually, with Haas, I will say there was a moment when Max passed the two Haases and then he was complaining about them being so close because they wouldn't fall behind him. So he kept complaining to GP, and GP's like, it's fine. They're not going to do anything. Just drive the car. He's like, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about Lando. They're going to get, yeah. So they were sticking to the back of Max a little bit. Yeah. Like I said, I just feel like, you know, good races, bad races, but you know,
they're good. They're another one that's trending up. I mean, like Alpine, they're both kind of starting to climb almost consistently in that, you know, 7 to 10 spot.
And I think kind of throughout the whole year, at least Nico has been fighting within top 12.
Almost
every race. I mean, I wouldn't say like they're on a climb right now. I just think it was just a good race put together for them. I think they're always going to be fighting for 9-10.
I'm saying in comparison to like beginning of the season, for sure, they were dead in the water. And just seasons.
Not really. Haas? I mean, they got a point the first season.
That's right. Then Nico finished 10, right?
I think they climbed to 6 right off the jump.
I do believe their first season was pretty good, and then they just started.
First race. But yeah.
First race of this season, I think they started off hot off the bat. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I guess more or less, in comparison into what we're used to from Haas in the last couple of years.
Your point just got butchered there.
It did get butchered. Right.
But we're just not
used to the consistency from Haas.
We see Haas do well, really, like, they do pretty well right off the bat, and then they start falling behind a little bit, and then they just kind of, like I said, they just kind of grab points where they can. So,
do you think this is anything? Does this hurt Gunther? How good they're doing this year?
I don't think anybody's really talking about Gunther anymore.
No, but there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, right? I mean, like majority of the fans, especially in like America and stuff, are Drive to Survive fans. They love Gunther.
They're all gonna love him.
I just feel like as far as a principal.
Well, I don't think he's. I don't know if he'll get another shot.
Not a principal, no shot. No.
So. I think that would be the answer there. I mean, I don't think it changes the view on Gunther. I think everybody still loves him, but for his personality.
Or did Gunther set up this year's team to be as it is right now? Right? Because I feel like a Haas, I mean,
he's been setting up for a minute then.
Right. You're right. That he can only do so much, but I feel like the Haas at some point in like the seasons, they stop developing their own car and they just get ready for next year because.
So Gunther actually had an interview about that, and he said about halfway through the years when you really start putting the effort into next year's car. You could make an argument that it is partially Gunther. I mean,
I imagine with their resources, kind of got to focus like one or the other a little bit, or else they're just going to be screwed both seasons. So.
Yeah.
And he was responsible for getting Nico and K-Mag, so.
Yeah, you know.
True.
Hey, Haas is Gunther's design, man.
It is. And I mean, if they stay in seventh, like, they're set up for next year and the year after pretty good.
That'd be a great finish for Haas.
It'd be their highest ever.
Really good finish.
No, tied for the highest ever.
Tied.
We just got to see next year if they start, you know, throttling themselves a ton, then we know for a fact it was all Gunther.
Yeah, well, we got to see who's even in the cars next year. They don't have any committed drivers.
It's very true.
Yeah, they don't. That's right, because, Nico's gone, obviously. I mean,
Behrman in one of the seats.
Behrman's going to get one of them.
Yeah, Behrman will get one.
He just won the sprint race.
Let's go, Carlos.
Carlos is going to Williams. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Let's just touch real quick on the V-carbs. Danny Ric, obviously, in points again. Continuing to grab a couple points here and there, while his counterpart Yuki seems to be struggling as of late. They seem to have kind of swapped roles now. All of a sudden, Danny Rick's getting slightly more consistent between that 7 and 10 spot, and Yuki now is kind of falling out of the points.
Here he's coming. I told you, back half of the year, he's coming.
He's fighting for a seat next year somewhere.
Yeah, he's racing great. He raced great this weekend.
He did. Yeah, and he's placing above Yuki, I think, the last three races, right? Mm-hmm.
That sounds so right. I mean, they've literally kind of swapped roles a little bit.
He's stepping up a little bit. I don't know if it's going to save him, but he's trying.
He's only 8 points back from him on the year in the drivers.
Not bad.
Oh, wow.
We'll just move right into the Alpines battling each other again at some point on the track, bumping tires, bumping uglies. They just can't. Can't deal with each other.
You need to pull Ocon out of that car, dude.
They're a fun team to watch, man. Like, they were bringing all the excitement the first quarter of this race, dude. I was just like, these guys are idiots.
Literally. Like, I mean, Gasly's sending it. Ocon's doing everything he can to wreck the car, and it's just not happening.
The team principal
just being
has
aggressive, though. I mean, he's making moves.
He is making moves. The team principal just has to be just puckering the whole race.
Didn't Alonso jump on the mic or something, like, laugh? Like,
what? He's like, wow.
Yeah, they, like, touched each other right in front of him. He's like, wow.
As they were both getting past him.
Yeah.
Oh, the LP. Yeah, seeing the Alpine's fight is so funny.
Speaking of Alonso, obviously struggling a little bit, as well as his counterpart, Stroll, fresh off his new deal.
The year's done, right?
I kind of think so. Yeah,
that's pretty much
I'm not
it.
Sure they're coming back.
They're fighting. I think they're trying to fight Haas and Racing Bull. They're just trying to maintain their spot right now. Haas, Racing Bull, and Alpine. They're just trying to maintain fifth. I think that's where they're at right now.
Yeah,
which
it's not horrible, but you promised us a world championship in what, 4 or 5 years or something. What did Papa Bear say? Papa Stroll.
Oh, that's true. He did.
He said
say
like 4 or 5 years,
didn't he?
Oh man,
Papa Stroll.
He said everything he needed to say to make them shareholders happy. Baby.
He's the shareholder, though.
Like I said, you got to start by convincing yourself.
Talking himself up in the mirror.
Oh, so I promise you right now, a hidden camera, a fly on his wall. He is not happy, dude.
You're gonna do this.
how those talks, self talks in the mirror, change over the course of.
Yeah.
Being the main money man.
Does he have another son, or is his last hope?
Does he have another son? Kev, with that, let's roll into the news to talk about his current son. And right back into the news. Let's start off with Stroll's re-signing. Papa Stroll's current son. Why, man? Other than the fact that Papa Stroll's in charge.
This is the most sure thing in Formula One there is in terms of a seat.
Talk about job security, bro. Yeah. Like, no performance review, nothing. You're just, hey, guess what, buddy? You got a raise and a 2-year deal. Or three. Isn't it like it's way too long.
We just pulled up a photo of the daughter. A lot more people would pay and be happy to see her in a racing car. I'll tell you that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Moving on from that, nothing else to say about Stroll. Gasly getting a multi-year extension with Alpine. I think that's been well-deserved, especially as of late. Seems to be trending upwards as well. And with Ocon leaving, for sure.
Yeah.
Alpine locks down a mid-tier driver for long-term.
Yeah, I think I was maybe just a little surprised that they got him to stay even. But the Alpine's definitely looking better.
You think Gasly probably wanted to dip out?
I thought there were talks that the first part of the season was dismal. I would imagine he probably didn't want to be there a whole lot. But it's good that they got him. They got someone who knows how to drive the car, who knows just how to drive a car at least decently well, like you said.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt.
You know, now they just got to fill the other seat with someone who is an Ocon, you know?
And who's that rumor right now?
I keep thinking it's going to probably be Jack Doohan, right? Their reserve driver. I'd love
it
to see.
It has to be, right?
I want
to
see their reserve drivers in the seat.
Who else is even on the table for him? Science?
I don't think so. Mick could probably be on the table for them, maybe.
Who?
Mick? Alpine?
You just love yourself some Mick Schumacher, bro.
Yeah,
you want him on the grid next
year. He's gonna get another shot.
But who are you giving a shot to?
I think right now the Williams is either it's gonna be.
We're talking about Alpines.
Yeah, no, but I'm thinking Williams right now is Doohan or
Williams, bro. We're talking about Alpine. Doohan's the reserve driver for Alpine.
Yeah, so Doohan and Lawson. Lawson's gonna find a seat next year, I think.
Oh, you just mean like reserve drivers in general?
No, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, reserve drivers.
I mean, Lawson didn't really get that long of a shot, right?
So
yeah, I think Lawson's in a V-carb.
Lawson's in a V-carb, yes.
I hope so. I think the reason why I say Mick possibly is because the exact same happened with Ocon. He was a reserve driver from McLaren, and Toto got him into the seat of the Alpine, which I think was probably Renault at the time. So Toto could do the same thing, maybe. I still think they're probably going to choose Doohan over him, though. I would like to see Mick back on the grid. I think he deserves another chance. Just to show us that it wasn't the Haas and that he really isn't his father.
Let me throw
just
something
sucks
at
to
you.
Say, but
yeah. Let me throw something at you. So Mercedes doesn't want to get rid of Mick. Keep him as a reserve driver. They put Kimi in that seat next year, knowing they can have Mick step in if need be. I don't think Mercedes lets Mick walk out the door.
That's no security for me.
I don't think Mercedes lets Mick walk out the door.
Then Mercedes makes a contract saying, "Hey, Alpine, you get Mick, but if we need him, we pull him, and then you get Kimi." I mean, I just think is it Nicky or Kimi? I keep saying Kimi.
It is Kimi.
Okay, yeah, I just think Mercedes has a lot of pull with whatever they want to do.
Well,
they have something going on with Alpine, right? Like they have some kind of deal with them. I don't know why, but yeah. So that's kind of my thought in terms of who replaces Ocon. It's going to be Doohan or maybe Mick. I don't know. Is there anyone else that's slotted?
You don't think it's Danny Ric at all?
Danny Ric for Alpine?
I think if he finds a spot, it's either going to be with Alpine or Racing Bull.
I don't think Alpine's good. I think Alpine's going to want somebody newer.
I guess Haas.
I think Alpine's going to want to go younger because they have
right
Gasly
now.
Yeah,
and I mean, I don't know if they'd want it because
Rick stay on the grid or Danny Ric stay on the grid next year?
There's a chance he doesn't.
Do you think Renault would want to take Ric back because that used to be Renault and Danny Ric hung them out to dry?
He left
his contract. He
wasn't
him.
A good like
yeah. It's a different principle. It's a different everything now. I don't think that has any.
You'd hope not.
I don't
know if he'd want to go back though.
I don't know. I mean, Danny Ric is just such an unknown right now, like where his future lies. Cause like he's not getting back into the Red Bull seat.
So
it makes it more challenging that he's getting points.
The same thing you said about Mick, I think is the same thing I could say about Red Bull. I think Danny Ric is still a face on the grid that Red Bull wants. I just don't know if they can place him in the vehicle. Yeah. I just don't know what that means, like where he would go. But
hey, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, maybe their reserve driver role again, just so they have him in the building in case anything happens with Perez.
I think
he's
gonna love that,
but I don't know. It's just like Alpine to me is
and he could stay in that.
It's kind of it's not the biggest question mark, but like they're consistently top of the midfield if you exclude Aston from that the last couple of years. I mean, even include Aston right now with how they're performing, right?
Yeah.
So it's just it's you'd think it would be much more of a coveted seat than it like. Is coming out to be like I don't think it's a bad idea if Science goes there
to Alpine.
I think that would be good for Science.
I would agree. I think right now we just look at it like that because how they're performing right now. But I mean, other than Mercedes, it might be his best option. Either Mercedes or Williams or Alpine. Is Williams or Alpine a better spot right
I'm
now?
Going
though?
Alpine.
Then Williams.
Consistently, Alpine has been above Williams. I mean, you look at the last five years.
And then it's Albon literally right behind them pretty much. But yeah, I mean, they have been consistently better outperforming Albon all season.
But then you look at the Alpine this year even, right? As soon as I got that car underweight, they've been consistently in the top 12. The car was too heavy. You can't, that the difference in like the kilos, because it's not America, is like even 10 kilos is so much. Now, granted, I don't think it was that high. I don't think you could get away with that, but that's so much, even 4 or 5. That's so much weight when you're talking tenths of seconds that matter.
Yep. And I think they say every kilo is like a tenth or something like that. So,
and I think at one point, I think I heard they were 11 kilos overweight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. They were very overweight. Yeah. I think you're right. I think over the years, Alpine has been consistently better. And so it probably would be the best choice. I just, all this talk about him going to Williams, what is there for him at Williams long term? The promise of it's going to be a good team one day, like they give Albon. I don't know.
So that's where my next
point. You're talking for Carlos.
Yeah.
So that's where my next point was kind of going to tie into. As far as like all these drivers, they always talk about. Like I think Albon turned down Mercedes because he didn't like the way Mercedes looked in their plan for the future. How much do you really think they get to see on the plan for where they're going to go with that car? Like there's no way they're making a decision based on that, right?
Well, and it's projections, right? Like you're projecting this off of like
there's nothing
data.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. And what, like, I just wish, hold on, Lando, coming in right now. No, I wish we had somebody that could tell us what was going on. Like, how much you really find out?
I don't understand that.
Like, Lando, you're saying, like, Lando's going to walk into the pod right now. Oh. Like, little old us. Yeah.
But no, like, how much?
Good one.
How much do these drivers really know about like the car and like, you know, because I feel like it's a lot of the deciding factors are always like, oh, I'm not liking the way that car looks. I'm really liking the way this car looks. But how much data or how much are they really going to give a driver that they're not signed up to yet?
Well, there's that part too, right?
That's crazy because you look at Lewis leaving Mercedes. He didn't like what he was seeing in the 2026.
And that's the same reason that Albon didn't like Mercedes either.
Mm-hmm.
But so like how much could they really know? No way they're just giving that information out there.
Especially if you're an Albon, right? Like you think that the Williams has a chance in hell of performing at the level of a Mercedes? Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Unless if Williams just threw that much more money at him. Or is Mercedes which just not offering to willing to offer him a long-term contract because of Kimi?
Or that.
I think it's the latter. I don't see a world where Albon would stay in Williams. I mean, like, you're building a legacy, but you're building it in a team that has a good legacy, but has an awful car as of the last decade, right? Yep. So I just don't know. It's a weird decision.
Two decades, probably.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I just...
Closing thoughts on the seats.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'll say is Science came out, or his manager came out and said that he is completely comfortable, he's completely calm, and he's ready to make his decision. I forget when they said he's ready to make his decision, but like he has basically his decision made, and he's not stressing about the seat at all. It's just us, I guess, stressing about where he's going to be next year.
So they were, shout out to Kev on this one, there was actually a Netflix crew at Austria this weekend because they thought that they were going to hold a press conference with Sainz actually going to Williams.
Really?
And it never came to fruition. So there was a Netflix crew for, obviously, for, you know, Drive to Survive.
God,
like,
again, though,
separate
like
on crew
said,
just for that press conference.
Are you seeing it, Williams? Like, what
I
just, is...
Yeah, I don't know.
I think, but it's so... Put yourself in Sainz. Like, I think that Alpine's a better car than Williams. But out of everybody that's left, I'm going Williams. No, that's not... I mean...
No, you just said Alpine before.
No. Take Alpine out of it. I'm saying the ones that are left. It's
Haas
or Williams.
It'd be Haas or
Williams.
Mercedes.
It's Haas or Williams.
Yeah.
Well, Mercedes isn't in.
It's just not going to happen. Yeah.
Mercedes.
Obviously,
I'm taking completely
out
of the
equation. Obviously, I think we all agree that Mercedes would be
Mercedes
the best
is the
spot
most coveted spot that's open right now.
Yeah. Other than just, that,
and then like the same thing. Like on that point, I think Racing Bull, their principal, whatever, came out and said, "We have plenty of time. We're not going to rush your decision. Like, we're good. We have time to decide this one."
Yeah.
So I think we're not going to find out a lot of this stuff
for
a couple weeks.
They have time because all of their options are already in the team. They don't have to make that decision, right? They're just pulling whoever they need to.
Because for Racing Bull, it's going to be Danny Rick or Liam Lawson.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way either one of those two are not in that seat.
Most likely. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if Danny Rick goes to Alpine and Liam Lawson goes to Haas.
Are you saying Yuki's definitely staying in the car?
Well, he already signed an extension, brother.
Oh, he did. Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I couldn't remember if he already signed the extension or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yuki's locked in.
So Yuki's locked in. Yeah, man.
Like, Helmut even talked about Liam Lawson.
He did.
He did.
He definitely
did. He
did
start
but
some
Helmut
stuff.
But Helmut talks, man. Helmut says all the things all the
sometimes
time.
Sometimes a little bit on the racy side even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he talks too much sometimes.
Yeah, I could definitely see a world Danny stays, though. You know? Like, if he keeps performing.
I could, too. If Danny Rick keeps putting in top sevens and Yuki drops off, what choice do you have but V-Carb to keep Danny Rick? Or does that just drive his price up for another team?
Yep.
I would love to see Danny Rick in an Alpine again. I really would.
I would just like to see him on the grid next year.
Well, yeah.
I think we all would.
Haas or an Alpine. If I could see. With Haas having two
cool,
seats
dude.
Open, man.
Haas would be cool.
It would be such
what
a good.
Him
and
Behrman.
And if they're going to bring in Behrman, that's
him
a mill.
Him and Behrman?
Right? That's
good.
Probably only like a mill. So you could probably pay Danny his. He's at like 8 right now, I think. What if you offer Danny 7? You know,
I think that's the only thing withholding Danny Rick from
a Haas
and Rick
driver.
Partnership is how much can they pay him.
You know
right, but if you bring in a
Behrman,
you pay him the minimum.
Here.
You have the ability to pop, especially
pay,
if you finish
to pay
seventh.
A veteran driver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going back to something that I thought of earlier, Red Bull might have like a contract outside of F1 seats that he's still attached to as well.
Danny Rick?
Yeah.
There has to be an out in that, though, for him to
I'm
take.
I'm sure there probably is, but like, I would imagine he's a part of that family. Like, I mean, before
they immediately put
him into the reserve driver spot and then immediately put him into DeVries' spot when he was not performing. And then, unfortunately.
Well, him and Horner.
That's
are,
the thing. Yeah. You know? So maybe, I mean, hey, and maybe that pays more than an F1 contract, you know?
Resume.
Just being associated with Red Bull.
For sure. But with that, let's leave the seats because honestly, we have no idea. And we're going to head right into the British Grand Prix preview. And right into the British Grand Prix preview, Joe, give us our last year recap.
Yeah, good old Silverstone. I love this track. I like watching this track. I love racing this track on the game as well.
This is a fun track.
It is one of my favorite tracks.
I would agree with that.
So yeah, this year, the Formula One Qatar Airways British Grand Prix 2024. Some fun facts. As usual, Silverstone was the first Grand Prix hosting the inaugural F1 World Championship round in 1950. So this is the very first one. The most wins here is Lewis with 8, and we have an 89% chance of a safety car, so that could ooh, you know, mess things up a little bit. Getting into last year, the starting grid was Max, Lando, and then Oscar. We saw Lando putting on for his home race, getting a very quick start off of the line, and then immediately takes first position from Max, while Oscar starts fighting Max for second right behind them. Behind him, two other Brits in the Mercedes fare a little bit differently. Russell gained one position for fifth, and then Hamilton lost a couple, dropping down the grid. On lap five, Max's Red Bull dominance takes the lead back from Lando. Hamilton begins to make his positions back as he surpasses Alonso on lap seven. On lap 31, we see Russell overtake Charles Leclerc after a pit stop window for eighth place, netting himself third. On lap 33, the Haas of K-Mag begins to billow smoke until it rolls to a stop and produces a campfire on the side of the track. This brings out the safety car, initiating pit stops for the top four who haven't pit yet. Hamilton gets pretty lucky for the safety car. Pitting ends him up in third place. Lando opted for the hards in the final stint. He started fighting Lewis behind him on the softs. On lap 39, he did actually concede second place, I believe. Oh, no, he actually didn't. Lando held off Hamilton for the rest of the race. I just had put that in because I thought it was going to happen, but Lando kept that. We saw a couple more fights for the points, namely Perez making his way from 15th to 6th, and the Ferraris battling for the last 2 point positions. So our final, Verstappen did eventually get past Norris, I think a few laps after the first one. So it's Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, Piastri, and then Russell. This is Max's first win at Silverstone and Red Bull's first win since 2012. We saw two Brits on the podium. This was Oscar's best finish in F1 at this point. The Ferraris looked slightly out of form last year. Both cars were definitely affected by the pit stop strategy, however. And then in terms of DNFing, both Alpines out, I think Ocon may have had a collision and then had to retire. And I think Gasly was out right from the jump. And then K-Mag with that fire. Other way around.
Yeah, right. Ocon went out after he got 9 laps completed. Gasly actually got 46 of the 52 laps completed.
Gotcha. All right, and then he got a little bit of damage. So that was last year, Silverstone. I don't feel great about predictions, actually. I'm not doing too hot on them.
This is a weird one, too.
I feel good about one person. Otherwise, it's a little up in the air. I
feel good about two.
Okay.
But I'm kicking us off to give us a recap of where we're at. Who could have predicted Russell Oscar Sainz last week? But Cole actually happened to get 3 points because he did predict Russell, or 4 points because he predicted... We just cut it. That I'm dumb. What's happening, Lando? Okay.
Yeah, 3 points.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll start us off this week. But to recap last week, who could have predicted Russell, Oscar, and Sainz on the podium? You very well could have predicted Logan finishing last, as Cole did. Cole also had Russell on that podium. So he got 3 points last week, bringing him to 21. I got 1 point last week at 22. Smeltzy got 1 point last week at 19. Mm. And Joe did not get any points last week, unfortunately. So he is still bringing in the rear at 17.
I cannot believe I said K-Mag for last. That was so silly. Stupid.
You need a good week.
I said it, and then two of you guys were like, you know, I was thinking that too. I was thinking maybe K-Mag. And I was like, all right, I might have it. And he got seventh eighth in the race. Eighth in the race. Man, what
a bad
call.
So we all know nothing.
Yeah.
But I'll kick us off this week. As you said, Joe, it's a tough one to predict right now. There's so many people that could be there with how well the cars are performing. I got Verstappen, Lando, Piastri, and for the bonus point this week, we are going...
2 points. Are we doing 2 points for bonus?
The bonus one this week, which is worth 2 points. I also just messed up my podium, so I'm going to have to redo that, but we'll get into the bonus points. That is for eighth place this week. So that's a little bit random. But to redo my podium, that is actually correct. I got Verstappen, Lando, and George on the podium this week, and I think Checo is going to take that eighth place spot.
Oh.
I'm up next here, obviously in second. Who would have thunk, huh? This point of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have Verstappen, Lando, and I'm going to go Piastri.
Mm.
And then I had the same four as Tyler, and I don't want to have the same four because I got to beat him. So
no, you're a Red Bull hater. You could go Checo.
I know. That's why I wanted to, but I'm going to sprinkle in a little science.
Sprinkle in a little science?
Braith.
Wow. Okay. I mean, Smelty, that's actually not a bad pick.
Thanks.
Max, Lando, and Lewis. Lewis owns this track. I think he's absolutely on the podium.
That was it between me. It was Lewis and George.
You know, and I mean, George is a great pick, too, especially with how well he's doing. But, like, Lewis's history here, I just think he's pumped. He's racing well. At some point, we should do who's going to win the freaking race when it's not Max so much.
I 100% agree.
But, yeah, bonus points for me. For eighth place, that's Pierre Gasly.
Mm. Interesting.
The only thing I'm certain on eighth place, I'm going to go with Checo. So I got a question before I give my prediction. I know one of the people that I want on there. Do you guys think I should be going safe or should I be going risky?
You're in last. Risk it up, bud. Risky? You need all the points you can.
But if if you're wrong, then you just keep getting that.
You know what?
You live life over
I enjoy the races, you know? All right. I'm going to go risky then. I'm going to say Lando, Oscar, and George on the podium.
A maxless podium. I did think about it, though.
I'm doing it.
Not 2 weeks in a row.
I almost did all three Brits. I wanted to do Lando, Lewis, and George, but I think Oscar looked crazy good on the track last year. I think he's gonna perform well here.
Yeah.
So I need to get him up there. And then Lando, I'm rooting for Lando to win the race. So, like, even if Max wins, you know, it's whatever. But I think Lando has a really good shot at this. He's good at this race, and it's his home track. He loves it.
I thought you were going to do Lando, Piastri, Verstappen. I thought you were going to say, I'm going crazy this week.
No. Oh, man.
We should do 1 week where if, like, you guess the podium, right, it's, like, point for per podium, too.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
For the bonus question?
For sure. Oh, yeah.
An extra point per place.
For podium placement, yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
But that's off camera.
A little mid-season bonus. Mid-Cena. Yeah. Yeah, with that, any parting thoughts on Silverstone?
Fun track to watch. Excited for it. It's this upcoming weekend.
Yep.
The last of the triple had a
75% chance of rain.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Oh, you rat bastard.
Boy.
I have no idea what the weather's going to be, but it can be wet there sometimes. So
that makes that Lewis and George decision a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. With that, Joe, are you looking up the weather really quick?
Yeah, 100%.
What's it look like? Real quick. Before we wrap,
hold
we
on.
Might as
like
well.
Like you said earlier, we have no internet down here.
Son of a gun.
Okay.
Here it is.
Friday, it is going to be raining. Saturday, it looks to be clear. Nah, we should be good. No inclement weather.
Famous last words.
But yeah, hey,
we should be good.
Could change. That Friday rain could move up. You never know. So I think that's how weather works. Guys? Okay, yeah. Never mind. Let's
guys,
end this.
Back to you.
Let's get this.
Yeah, no. Obviously, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Thanks again for the Cappy for sponsoring another episode. If you can see them, don't forget to get them ordered up before July 4th, so order them right now, actually, so they get there before your July 4th bangers. Don't forget, it has a keychain loop on it. You can keep it with you at all times. Obviously, thanks again from all of us for watching Fast Laps. This has been Banner with the Boys.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.